will save my soul and lead me home.
Good afternoon. My name is Tally Miller, and you're listening to the Society of Mental Illness. During today's podcast, I will be personally speaking about all sorts of facts, myths, statistics, different mental health recovery stories, and more. Grab some hot tea and join me for a talk about a very important subject in today's society, mental health. First up on today's agenda, I will be talking about myths versus facts about mental illness and mental health. The first myth that I seem to have found was mental problems don't affect me. But mental health problems are actually very common. In 2014, about 1 in 5 American adults experienced a mental health issue. 1 in 10 young people experienced a period of major depression. And 1 in 25 Americans lived with a serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or major depression. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. It accounts for the loss of more than 41,000 Americans' lives each year, more than double the number of lives lost to homicide. Another myth is children don't experience mental health problems. Well, that is false. Even very young children may show early warning signs of mental health concerns. These mental health problems are often clinically diagnosable and can be a product of the interaction of biological, psychological, and social factors. Half of all mental health disorders show first signs before a person turns 14 years old. And 3/4 of mental health disorders begin before the age of 24. Unfortunately, less than 20% of children and adolescents with diagnosable mental health problems receive the treatment they need. Early mental health support can help a child before problems interfere with other developmental needs. Myth: people with mental health problems are violent and unpredictable. Also false. The vast majority of people with mental health problems are no more likely to be violent than anyone else. Most people with mental illness are not violent, and only 3% to 5% of violent acts can be attributed to individuals living with a serious mental illness. You probably know someone with a mental health problem and don't even realize it, because many people with mental health problems are highly active and produce members of and are productive members of our communities. Myth: people with mental health needs, even those who are managing their mental illness, cannot tolerate the stress of holding down a job. Fact: people with mental health problems are just as productive as other employees. Employees who hire people with mental health problems report good attendance and punctuality, as known as motivation, good work, and job tenure on par with or greater than other employees. When employees with mental health problems receive effective treatment, it can result in lower total medical costs, increased productivity, lower absenteeism, decreased disability costs. Stats: approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., which is 43.8 million, or 18.5%, experiences mental illness in a given year. Approximately 1 in 5 youth aged 13 to 18 experiences a severe mental disorder at some point during their life. For children 8 to 15, the estimate is about 13%. 1.1% of adults in the U.S. live with schizophrenia, and 2.6% of adults in the U.S. live with bipolar disorder. 6.9% of adults in the U.S., 16 million, had at least one major depressive episode in the past year. Among the 20.2 million adults in the U.S. who experienced a substance use disorder, had a co-occurring mental illness. An estimated 26% of homeless adults staying in shelters live with serious mental illness, and an estimated 46% live with severe mental illness and/or substance use disorders. 70% of youth and juvenile justice systems have at least one mental health condition, and at least 20% live with a serious mental illness. Just over half, 50.6% of children with a mental health condition aged 8 to 15 received mental health services in the previous year. African Americans and Hispanic Americans each use mental health services at about one half the rate of Caucasian Americans and Asian Americans, at about one third of the rate. Half of the chronic mental illness begins at age 14, three quarters by age 24. Despite effective treatment, there are long delays, sometimes decades, between the first appearance of symptoms and when people get help. The consequences of lack of treatment can be severe. Serious mental illness costs America $193.2 million in lost earnings per year. Mood disorders, including major depression and bipolar disorder, are the third most common cause of hospitalization in the U.S. for both youth and adults aged 18 to 44. Over one-third, 37% of students with mental health condition at age 14 to 21 and older who are served by special education dropout, the highest dropout rate of any disability group. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and second leading cause of death for people aged 10 to 34. Each day, an estimated 18 to 22 veterans die by suicide. There are many triggers for teens and adults who have developed a mental health condition or mental illness disorder. Severe depression in teens is common. Up to 30% of adolescents who have at least one episode of it, and 50 to 75% of adolescents with anxiety, impulse control, and hyperactivity disorders develop them during the teenage years. A recent study from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, published in the journal Science, helps shed some light on why mental illness in young adults is so common and how it occurs. Working with young mice known to have genes for mental illness, researchers were able to trigger signs and symptoms of mental illness by exposing the mice to stress. Which, that makes sense, because I can vouch for all of the kids at my school and at my old school and probably everywhere at any school, any kid that's working, having to take care of the family, having responsibilities that maybe they should not have to take over at this age, but stress kills, it plays with your mind, it's hard to overcome it, but you know what, it does happen, and it will happen. Mental illness does not just affect people like you and me. Successful business people, businesswoman Kate Spade, she suffered from depression for many years, and she took her own life. Robin Williams, we all know Robin Williams. He battled Parkinson's disease and dementia, but he was also depressed. He took his own life. Marilyn Monroe, the It Girl, people's idol. She was all over. She was the poster child for beauty magazines and campaigns. But after some stuff went down that was brought to her life, it was too much for her to hold on to. She took a high dose of barbiturates and put an end to her suffering. Kurt Cobain, he was battling depression and drug addiction. Days before the suicide, he escaped from a detox center in Los Angeles. And Ernest Hemingway, he is praised as one of the best novelists in history of mankind. He touched people from all ages. He had it all. He had the fame, he had the success, he had supporters, he had attention, but that is never enough. That can never fulfill one's life. He suffered from a severe form of depression, and he tried to cure his depression with alcohol, which alcohol is a depressant, so that doesn't really work, but all minds work differently. He was famous for his love of booze, so actually that does make sense. But he also decided to end his suffering and committed suicide. The reason why I chose the topic mental illness, mental health, recovery, the whole process, is because it's really impactful and you can learn so much about it. My favorite book, It's Kind of a Funny Story, was written by Ned Vizzini. He wrote about his mental health story, his illness, his recovery, incorporated his own personal experience all within and throughout the book. I think that when some people talk about depression and mental health, they make it seem like it's a funny thing. Dude, I'm fucking recording this. Go away. That was 3 minutes in.
I'm so sorry.
So they try to add humor to the topic and situation, which is very fitting, and Vizzini did a really good job with that in his book. He portrayed humor through when the main character Craig was in the hospital, when Craig would go to his friend Aaron's house and smoke marijuana and do drugs, and just the way he explained the characters and himself, aka Craig, just he kind of made fun of it, but not in a bad way. He just lightened up the dark topic of mental illness. Mental health and mental illness are similar, but they're different things, you know? But over the course of the past 4 years, I've learned so much about what it's all about by going through it personally, having family members going through it, friends who have been sent away for a mental illness. You learn so much, and your mind opens up and you feel for others around you, but then you help others, you help yourself, and you try not to go down that path again, whether it's possible or not, but you know, that's the main goal, which is important, and always remember that there's always people there for you. So this is it. I'm signing off. My name is Tally Miller, and you're listening to the Society of Mental Illness. I will be back next week, and I hope you all will tune in again for a part two, and maybe more parts later on. Mental illness, mental health is a very important subject in today's society, and I hope you all learned something. Good night.